Tonight, someone will croak.
Wait till you see how on
People Are Funny. And now here is radio's top master of ceremonies, Art Linkletter.
Oh, boy, are people funny. Even animals are funny. Did you hear about the farmer up in Salt Lake City? His house caught on fire. He has a watchdog. So faithful, he kept the fireman away, the whole house had been burned down. Really happened. May happen yet tonight, huh, Rod?
Right.
Who's first on the show tonight, Mr. O'Connor?
Mr. William Scherer from Louisville, Kentucky, Mr. Linkletter.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Art.
Do you believe the old saying, the old wives' tale, I guess you might call it, that you get warts on your hands if you handle frogs?
No.
You don't believe it?
No.
We'll find out. What do you care if your fingers look like old pickles? I'd guess, Bill, that you are single?
I am.
And what business are you in?
I'm in the Naval Reserve waiting for orders to go into the Army.
Your period of waiting is over. You're ready to go into action tonight. Mr. Shearer, for the next 30 minutes, at any rate, you are a hunter. Boys, get the hunter's cap. Put it on him. Give him the big net. Bring out the spear. Bring out the hip boots. Have you got any idea what you've been hunting?
I have no idea.
Uh-huh. Give him the hunter's call, will you? Blow that. Don't you recognize that? That's the call of a frog for his mate. Yes, Mr. Shearer, tonight you have been a frog hunter, let us say. Your bag of game, where is it, fellas? Bring out the gunny sack with a lot of big, beautiful, dead frogs inside of that. I'll tell you what you're going to do, Mr. Shearer. What every hunter does when he comes home with extra game. He's going to share it with his neighbors. You don't live around here, do you?
No, I don't.
We don't care. We'll find a neighborhood. And you're going to send you out with all this gear and equipment. You'll put the hip boots on out in the hall so you'll look like you've just come out of the swamps. We'll take off this blue suit coat. And then you just go up to any front door you want. You pick it out in the house while you're driving along in the neighborhood. Knock on the door. When somebody answers, what do you say?
Want a frog?
That does seem a little inadequate, doesn't it? Now, I tell you, figure up some cute little story. Like you can say, I'm new in this neighborhood, and I know you'd like to have a couple of lovely, edible frogs I just caught.
How old are they?
The frogs? They're brand new caught.
Oh.
We killed them up in a vice president's office right here at NBC this afternoon. And then, of course, after you say your story, you reach in and pull out a frog and hand it to them.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be kind of fun to give away a lot of dead frogs, won't it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. You think? Well, I tell you, just for the fun of it, we're going to make it more lively. Boys, bring out the sack of live frogs. Now, those are the live ones in there, and they're really live frogs. Believe me, we went to a lot of trouble to get them. See them jump in there? Now, you give people their choice, either a live frog or a dead frog, but you must give them away. Talk the people into it. Say, frog legs are wonderful. They're edible. They taste a little like chicken, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And give them away, even though they haven't been cleaned. I mean the frogs, not the people. Don't check out anybody you want. Now, go to as many houses as you can, and if you manage to give all your frogs away, we'll give you $100 worth of our fine prizes. Now, Mr. Atkins will drive you to a nearby neighborhood, get you back on time. And by the way, if they ask you where you got the frogs, you got any idea where you go frog hunting around here?
No.
Well, say the La Brea Tar Pits. They get everything out of there. Whatever you say, you can't mention People Are Funny. Tell them you've been frog hunting someplace. You got the frog call? Give a blow. On your way. Say goodbye to them, audience. There goes old Hopalong Shearer. Remember, if he doesn't get rid of the frogs, he doesn't get the $100 worth of prizes. But now, get this. If he does get rid of all the frogs, wait till you hear what happens then. He'll be in even worse trouble. Well, anyway, I hope he wins something. $100 worth of those big premiums over there, for instance.
A wonderful $21 combination electric grill and waffle iron. Handsome man's sport shirt and your choice of smart colors. A new streamlined electric iron with temperature control and dozens of other things. Every one the best of its kind, top quality, nationally advertised. Art, our next contestant is Miss Margaret Roth from Los Angeles.
Well, Miss Roth, do you enjoy new experiences?
Oh, sure. Lots of fun.
Well, you're going to have one tonight. What do you do for a living, Margaret?
I'm a home economist. I help demonstrate things, too.
Well, you're going to demonstrate something tonight. You're a pretty good talker, aren't you, Margaret?
Well,
you have to be in your line.
Make a stabber.
As a home economist, you know that almost every woman listening in has at some time or another, including yourself, borrowed from friends and neighbors.
Oh, sure.
Well, what have you ever borrowed?
Oh, clothes, various articles of wearing apparel, food. Mm-hmm.
When you're short of something,
yes,
uh-huh.
Yes, whatever you want to borrow.
Now, before we went on the air, you recall Mr. Goodell here asked you for the phone numbers of some of your married friends who live around Los Angeles?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we checked, didn't we, John?
Right.
To see if those friends were at home. And the second number you gave us answered. We just said, oh, sorry, wrong number, and hung up. So we know they're there. Now, we want you to go into that phone booth and call this woman who is a friend of yours and who is home and try to borrow something. Do you think you can do it?
Well, it depends. Maybe unless she's gone, where do I have to borrow?
Oh, that's very easy. Whatever it is, she has it, I can assure you. Just tell me this one thing. Will you try?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'll give you a $100 prize if you succeed. And it's a very little thing we want you to try to borrow. Her husband. Some lady down there figured it out, didn't you? I heard a lady say, oh, that's the husband. You want to get rid of yours? I'll tell you, you think you could do it, Margaret?
Well, I'll sure try.
All right, now look, we'll make it easy on you. We'll give you 3 minutes to do it. And we'll give you a good story to tell her we've invented. And if she's a good friend, she may lend you her husband. Now, you tell her that a friend of yours from back east came in suddenly, invited you out to Ciro's for an evening. Your regular boyfriend has a bad cold, and we want to know, you want to know if she'll loan you her husband, see? You need an escort. What do you think she'll say?
Oh, gee, I don't know. Hard to say.
You know her pretty well?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. All right, now, some women will do anything to get rid of their husbands. Maybe this woman will jump at the opportunity. Now, we have a phone booth over there, so your friend can't hear the reactions of our audience. And the lady's name is Mrs. Zam, isn't it? Z-A-M. Is it Alakazam?
No.
What's her name?
Her name is Martha.
Martha Zam. All right, Mr. Goodell, go into the phone booth and start dialing the number. And Miss Roth, as soon as Mr. Goodell gets your number, you go into the booth. We give you 3 minutes. We'll close the door on you, but we have a microphone hooked on the line so everybody can hear the whole conversation. He should be having the number. All right, go on over there quickly now. Into the booth, take the call, and remember, you have 3 minutes to get it underway.
Hello, is this Martha?
Yes.
Well, how are you?
Hey, who's this?
This is Margaret.
Margaret Paul.
That's right.
Well, fine.
Well, how's everything over there?
Everything is just fine. What can I do you for?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm in a little spot, and I've been invited over to Ciro's, you know, tonight.
Yeah?
And my boyfriend won't be able to make it, and I was just wondering if I could borrow your husband for the evening. It won't cost you anything, you know. And, well, our friends will pick us up, and he won't have to take the car or drive or anything.
My husband?
Uh-huh.
Well, gee whiz, I'm a general that's impossible, darling,
because
he has an engagement.
Well, listen, I'd invite you to come along, too, but you know how it is. They would have a one-man show, and it would be a lot of fun.
Oh,
and yeah, but I'll have him back before midnight.
Yeah, but it's impossible, dear. She has an engagement.
Well, after all, you really won't mind, and I won't be alone with him at any time, and... I'll talk about you most of the time, you know, your nice things about it and everything, and I'd help you get that new iron you want for bed, and...
Mm-hmm.
And, then I could tell him how fortunate he would have such a good manager and how you do everything over in the yard and, you know, take care of things and make the house look so nice and everything like you do.
Are you sure you're just going to talk about the house and everything like that?
Oh, no, I'm talking about how nice you look and get all fixed up and go out and everything and, what a good manager you are and...
Uh-huh.
Just push your
And
stock
you're
up.
Not to be alone with him? You mean there's going to be a big group there?
What is it? I didn't hear.
Is there going to be quite a large group?
Oh, about six or so.
Uh-huh.
And,
Well, I'll tell you, we have this musical engagement, but,
Oh, he
and
can
as
go.
A matter of fact, I think I can get him to go if there's a group.
Oh, that'd be swell. Now, if you say he can go, he'll go, won't he?
Well, if I say that he's going to go, he'll go.
Oh, yes, we'll be back by midnight. And listen, I'll bring you some match covers because I know how you like them for your collection.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
Okay, swell. We'll pick you up in about an hour or so.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Goodbye.
Bye. She did it. 2 minutes and 23 seconds. 2 minutes and 23 seconds. She had 3 minutes. She's did it by 37 seconds. Come on out, Miss Ross. You know the biggest laugh I got out of the whole thing? She says, if I say he goes, he goes. You have won the $100 prize, and of course we'll phone her right after the show and invite her and her husband to go along on the party. And before you go to Ciro's, don't forget to pick out $100 worth of those fine prizes over there. Many-purpose combination electric grill or a deluxe inlaid bridge table or anything you want. Goodbye and thanks. Thank from you. People Are Funny. Now, Rod, who's next?
Mr. Clyde Brennan from Los Angeles. Meet Art Linkletter.
And here he comes, dressed in an old-fashioned bathing suit. Hello, Mr. Brennan.
How do you do, sir?
Mr. Brennan, that's a gorgeous thing. You look a little like a cucumber. Do you know why we dressed you in the gay 90 bathing suit?
No, I don't. Right not.
Well, of course, it could be that you're going bathing, Mr. Brennan. Now, we picked you out of several volunteers who were bus drivers. Who do you drive a bus for?
Los Angeles Transit Line.
How long have you been driving a bus?
About 12 years.
Who gives you the most trouble, men or women?
Well, women, I believe.
Is it because of they can't get the change out of their purse, or they don't know where they're going, or they're late in getting on, or what?
That's right.
Which? Did I hit it on every note?
You hit every note.
You were happy about being a bus driver?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You happy about being on the show?
I don't know.
You find out. Most people, do you think, feel that bus drivers are pretty good guys?
Well, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Want to bet?
Bet what?
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Clyde. This is an interesting experiment. I will pick five people at random, and if three of them have only good things to say about bus drivers, you get $100 worth of fine prizes. But if three of them have bad things to say, Mr. Brennan, what do you see being unveiled in the center of the stage?
It's like a tank of water.
That is a tank of water, but not just ordinary water, Mr. Brennan. That is ice water. Oh. And above it, you will notice a little seat. And the thing that supports the seat has a hinge in the middle of it. Just help him right up into the seat, because when he sits there and the... It's perfectly all right. You just sit right on the seat. He's a nice big fella, too. Now take the plank out from underneath. Now, nothing is between Mr. Brennan and the ice water except a little support which might give way if somebody pulls a rope. If we hear three bad things about bus drivers, Mr. Brennan, out of five, down you go. And you seem a little bit skeptical. I'll bet I know what you're thinking. I'll bet you're thinking that the people here in the audience, knowing where you are up there, will think up bad things to say, huh?
Well, you pick on an elderly woman, will you, please?
Tell you what I'll do, Mr. Brennan. I'll do better than that. These people here are prejudiced. They'd feel one way or another because they're either sorry for you or they want to see you get into the water. So I'm going to leave the studio and go out onto Sunset Boulevard, where we have a microphone on a long line out there, and people walking by don't have any idea what's going on in here. I'm going to pick five passers-by at random out on Sunset, and if three out of the five say bad things... Okay.
Well, there goes Art on his way to the street. You people here will be able to hear what goes on out there, but they won't be able to hear you. And remember now... And them think bus drivers are all wet. One bus driver we know will be all wet. Art will be there any second. Now, let's see what happens.
Here we are out on Sunset Boulevard, ladies and gentlemen. And our first guest coming up to the microphone now, here is a lady. Your name is?
Mrs. Lena Ratchup.
Do you ride in buses?
I sure do.
We're taking a poll on what people think of bus drivers. What is your opinion of bus drivers in general?
Well, they don't call out the streets loud enough. Then you go out of your way, maybe two, three blocks, and you have to go back. You tell them about it, and they say, well, madam, I couldn't help it.
That's a rather poor opinion of bus drivers.
That's right. They should talk a little louder or have them install speakers in their buses so that people wouldn't drive past their destination.
Thank you very much. Well, that is bad. Your name, sir?
Harry B. Thompson.
We're having a little poll out here on the street trying to discover what people think of bus drivers. In general, what is your opinion?
They pull away from transfer points entirely too fast. You can't make connections.
In other words, even if they see you running up, they may not wait for you.
You think they were going to the races?
Well, I'd say that's two bad opinions. Thank you very much. Could we get your name, please?
My name is Dick Walsh.
Uh-huh. What is your opinion of bus drivers?
Say, we on the radio?
Yeah, this is Coast to Coast Radio.
I ain't got nothing to say. Nothing.
All right, now, wait a minute. If you don't want to express opinion, that's all right. Here is our next guest, another man wearing a light top coat. Your name, sir?
Harry Martin.
Uh-huh. You drive you ride in the buses?
Oh, every day. The Western Melrose bus down to downtown Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. Well, now, what do you think about bus drivers?
Well, I think they do a terrific job. I think they must have the brains of an Einstein to remember all the stuff. Some of these old loggers that get on and start fumbling about for their monies and change. They can't get hold of the stuff. And the people waiting behind to try and get on. And these bus drivers keep their temper like angels. I think they're terrific.
Well, that's fine. You like bus drivers. That's two bad and one good so far. Here's a lady, Mrs.
Thelma Hanson.
What is your opinion
of
bus
drivers? Well, I think they're very nice and always very polite. I've remembered that. All of them very nice and very polite.
All right, thank you very much. That's too good and too bad. Let me get this lady with the little cherries up on her hat. This one is quite important. You are Mrs.
C.A. Moore.
You ride the buses?
Yes, I live in the Valentino, and I ride in every day, and I think they're very nice. There's one old man on our line that gets a little crabby late at night, but I think it's because he's so old. Otherwise, they're very nice to me.
Well, now, you've qualified your statement. I want you to give me a straight answer. Yes or no, do you think bus drivers in general are okay?
Yes, I do. I think they're very nice.
Well, thank you very much. What you have just said is going to make a certain bus driver very happy. Thank you. You ask anybody who listens to People Are Funny, and you'll know why.
Well, Mr. Brannon, you won your bet. Help him down from his perch, fellas. And after the program, he gets to choose $100 worth of prizes. Handsome wristwatch, fine tailored sports jacket, anything he wants.
What do you know? He did it. Mr. Brannon, were you a little nervous?
Yes, Art. Very much so.
That last lady looked so cross, too, when I walked up to her. You get $100 worth of prizes, and all I can say is that don't feel too bad about any of the criticisms, because people are funny. When you deal with the public, you've got to meet a few people who are sore at anybody. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Thanks from People Are Funny for coming on down. Shucks, we got those tank and everything and that ice cold water going to waste. Anybody like to jump in? Who's next, Rod?
Mrs. Frances Anderson from Los Angeles. Meet Art Linkletter.
Hello, Mrs. Anderson.
Hello, Mr. Linkletter.
You look like the kind of lady who never gets into trouble.
No, I don't.
But there is always a first time.
There is.
This may be it. What do you do, Frances?
I'm a housewife.
And Mr. Anderson is a?
He's an electrical engineer.
And you have any little?
Yes, I do. Not so little. Two boys, quite big.
Good for you. You look as if they'd be very young.
No, one's over 6 feet.
Really? You must have some magic mud pack or something. Mrs. Anderson, what were you asked to do when you were first chosen from out of our studio audience to be on the show tonight?
I was given 5 envelopes and told to write my name and address on each one.
Now, for doing that simple little stunt, you get $100 in cash.
Ooh-wee.
Wasn't that easy money?
Lovely. The easiest I've ever made.
Now, there's just one little catch. As soon as you wrote your name and address on those 5 envelopes, we changed your prize money, that $100, into $20 bills, and we put one into each of those envelopes. Would you like to know where they are now?
I certainly would.
So would I. Because right after you addressed them and the $20 bills were put inside, they were taken out and dropped on sidewalks around town. Now, those envelopes are all stamped and addressed to you because you addressed them yourself.
Yes, I did.
But they are not sealed. So to get your $100 prize money, Mrs. Anderson, all you have to do is to wait until people pick them up and mail them to you.
You mean I'm really trusting the public?
You have
to. How do I know they'll do that?
That's what we want to find out. Are people honest with other people's money? Very clever of me to use your money for this experiment, isn't it?
Oh, very clever.
Now, don't worry. We've made it easy for you. We did not seal the envelopes, and inside each envelope, along with the $20 bill, is a letter. Here's a copy of it. Would you read it? It says,
Dear Frances, understand you're short of dough lately, so here's the $20 I owe you. Regards, George.
And the question is, will people who find these envelopes and read that note and look at the $20 bill mail them to you or not? And we'll find out, because now we want you to go home and wait for the mailman. And next week, come back and we'll get a report on whether or not people are honest. Okay, Francis?
I certainly will.
See you next week.
Art, our frog hunter, is back.
Oh, the man with a sack of frogs, dead and alive? Well, let's get him back in and see if he got rid of them and gets the big prize. Send in the frog hunter. Look at him. He's really got the hip boots on. He's got the net and the frog stick and spear and the hat. Now, Mr. Scherer, at how many homes did you try to give away your frogs?
Well, we stopped. I went in about 10 or 12 different places. And
mostly men or women answered the door?
Well, there's a bunch of women playing bridge or doing something at the table, and I rang the doorbell, and the door was open a little bit, and nobody answered, so I knocked on the door, and this lady came to the door and opened it up, and I said, could I give you a frog? She looked at me like I was nuts.
Yeah.
And I said, I got some frogs here. I've been out here at the tar pits frog hunting. I've got a bunch of frogs. She said, well, what am I going to do with a frog? So I said, I don't know, and I handed it to her. It was one of the live ones. She just stood there and looked at me. So
Did she take it?
She took it, and there was some kids standing there, and this little girl was coming down the steps, and I run over to the house next door, and I run over to her, and I said, hi, and she said, hi, and I handed her a frog, and it jumped out of her hand, and
probably this other woman is using it right now for a bridge prize. They use anything for a bridge prize. And this little girl, was she scared of the frog?
No, she wasn't scared. She took it in her hand, and it jumped off, and two dogs and a cat took out running after it. I was running after the dogs and the cat trying to catch the frog.
Sounds like a very interesting evening for a boy with nothing to do. Did you give away more live or more dead frogs more easily?
I gave away the dead frogs easier.
They didn't want the live ones?
They said they could cook the live ones, but the dead ones, but the live ones they couldn't do anything with.
They might wait for old age to finally die, you know.
Well, it kind of messed me up. I went in the sack to get the live frogs, and they were little bitty ones. And I reached in the sack and get the dead ones, and they were about that long.
About a foot long?
Yeah.
Did you get more than one away at a house?
No. Yes, I did. This one woman on the porch, I gave her one, and there was two of them standing there talking. I ran up and I asked her if she would like to have some frogs, and she slammed the door, hollered, no, get away from here.
Yeah. And, she's scared of frogs.
Yeah, and so this other
must
lady...
Must be a Democrat.
This other lady was coming off the porch. I asked her.
Yeah.
And she said, my son likes frogs. So I said, well, here you are. Here's one. And I threw one in her hand. Wrapped it up in paper for her. She wouldn't touch it.
Yeah. Well, I noticed you're getting warts all over you here.
I got it all over me, whatever it is.
Yeah. Don't get any on me. Now, here is that big question. Did you say you gave them all away?
I gave all I had with me away.
Well, that's wonderful. The Navy needs a man like you. As a matter of fact, that means you win your prize. $100 worth of those premiums over there, a complete fishing outfit, a big electric lantern for frog hunting, anything you want.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.